give you guys a moment to get to your seats. I was just talking to Glenn and telling him that in my heart, I really believe that Resurrection Day is every day for us, because we live in the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit every single day. But it is good to remember that Jesus did conquer death, hell, and the grave, and that on Easter, he rose from the dead. And in that resurrection life, you and I now can live. So would you stand with me, and we're going to worship this morning? I just ask you to prepare your heart. You know, most of us on Easter prepare ourselves really good with wearing nice clothes and looking good, but let's make sure our heart's really prepared. Let's make sure that we're able to receive what the Lord wants to do in us today. Because every single day, he wants to impact. Every single day, he wants to penetrate our lives in such a way that we're not the same. And today's no different. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, God, that once again we can remember and celebrate, Lord, the resurrected life of your Son. That he overcame the obstacle of death. He overcame the obstacle of the grave. He overcame the obstacle of eternity and moved into the realm of heaven once again. And Father, we ask right now, Lord, that we would enter into that realm today in our hearts. Lord, that we would experience your presence as you desire us to. Lord, that we would not worship you from a distance, Lord, but face to face, heart to heart, life to life. Thank you, Jesus, for being our offering. Thank you, Jesus, for being the firstborn among many brethren. We thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate this day and every day your resurrection power. And we just pray today, Lord, that you would move in this place as you're here right now. You would move in our hearts. You would move in our lives. You would draw us to yourself. Draw us to yourself, Lord, and help us experience the reality of your resurrection power, the reality of your love, the reality of your peace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're thinking of us right now, that we're on your mind, and that you have good thoughts towards us. You have only what's best in store for us, and we receive that today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
And all. day of utmost glory. All of darkness cannot tarry, and every shackle come undone. My solid rock, thine is the kingdom, and every shackle come undone. My solid rock, thine is the kingdom, and hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ is risen from the grave, hallelujah, it is finished, all to you, the highest praise, and hallelujah, death is beaten, Christ is risen from the grave, hallelujah, now and forever, all to you, the highest
away my
the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus.
And what can wash?
And what can wash away?
Think about what the blood of Jesus is saying about you right now. Listen to the Lord. Listen to what the blood of Jesus is saying about you right now. About who you are, who you truly are. How many of us know that it's more important what God says we are than what we say we are? It's not until we see ourselves like He sees us that we'll ever live up to our God-given identity. So let's listen to him as we sing this again.
And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
stars they left, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse is upon him.
One final
breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Now forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen, he is alive, he is alive. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Now forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Now forever he is glorified. Forever he lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is
alive.
Overcome, we sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
The Lamb has overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. And forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
We will celebrate. He is alive. We will lift His name. He is alive. And we will celebrate. He is alive. Our God's alive. He is alive. And we will celebrate. He is alive. And we will lift His name. He is alive. And we will celebrate. He is alive. Our God's alive. He is alive. And we will celebrate. He is alive. And we will lift His name. He is alive. And we will celebrate. He is alive. Our God's alive. will find. As we walk in resurrection life, we will stand up. We know that you will fight. And as we walk in this resurrection life, we will stand up. We know that you will fight. And as we walk in this resurrection life, we will stand up. We know that you will fight.
It's who you are.
It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I see many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Father, a good Father, and we are loved by Him. We are loved by Him so much that He cares about each one of us. Each one of us. He cares so much about our church. He cares so much of what has gone on in this church. And the Lord revealed to me when we were worshiping, when we were united in prayer, when we were united in worship, that He broke off a curse that has been on this church for years. The curse is gone. We are set free. And hallelujah, Lord. So we will now worship like we are free. We will now walk like we are free. We will now pray like we are free. And we will believe like we are set free. Hallelujah, Lord. He is risen.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are.
It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I
I was proven this week how good God really is. Last year, I laid in tears many times because when my husband was working, he was getting paid half what he deserved, and the money was not there. And now I know why. God wanted us to trust him. We never were behind in anything, but I always seemed that he was cheated, my husband was. My husband walked in the house the other night, and he was not only paid for what he had done all this last month of March, but they paid him ahead $800 and said, that's what you get every month plus $10 an hour for every hour you work. So, the song says, you're loved by him. And we have been so blessed in our home.
So I keep hearing this chorus over in my mind, but it's kind of switched up. It's God singing over us. So it's going to go like this. Let's go to the first of the chorus, David.
I'm a good, good father. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And you're loved by me. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm a good, good father. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am, and you're loved by me. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
I want you guys just to hear that over your spirits today, because sometimes I think that we get into such a rut about knowing the truth about who we are and knowing the truth about really who he is. He is a good, good father, and he loves us. We're loved by him. And there's power of life in your tongue, and there's power of death in your tongue. So let's start speaking life over ourselves. He paid it all today. He paid it all. Let's remember that as we sing this song.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You're perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are
this morning, as we were worshiping, God kind of moved on my heart, and I want this morning, I want the devil to know that I know he's a liar. And I want you to know, I need to say this out in front of everybody, that he is a good, good father.
Amen.
But sometimes his goodness comes with a little pain. When we look at when he was crucified, he told his disciples, he said, I'm going away. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. But the day that he was crucified, they ran. They were afraid. They thought it was over. They said, I'm sure in their minds, they thought, I've sown my life into this man. I've given up everything to follow this man, and now he's gone. And sometimes in our lives, we follow Jesus, and things don't turn out quite like we would like them to. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it's Sunday morning. It's Easter Sunday. Friday has passed. Jesus is alive regardless of what the devil has told you, regardless of what people that are negative have said over your life. This morning, Jesus is alive. You know, we get wound up. We get all wound up over March Madness. We get all wound up over a stupid basketball game. But when we need to talk about Jesus this morning, everybody's like, this morning, can we worship like he's alive? Can we worship like it's Sunday morning, like he's not in the grave anymore? Can we do that this morning? Come on, regardless of the pain today, come on, let's worship him today.
As you go deeper still, as you go deeper still.
See?
It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You know, sometimes life tries to reveal the opposite to us, that he's not good. Sometimes it parades lies in front of us. It says we're not loved. But that's exactly what it is. They're all lies. It's a charade when life is saying that God's not good, because he is. And we need to remind ourselves that more and more as the day approaches. We need to remind each other that as the day approaches, that he's good. And he's a good Father. And he is our Father. He is a Father that loves us. He's a Father that gave it all for us, laid down his Son's life so that we could live. You're a good, good Father.
It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You
are. Yeah, you're perfect in all your ways, Father.
You are perfect.
There's no shadow returning in you. There's no hesitation of you to show us your love. Today, Lord, we receive afresh the love of God. We receive his affirmation, I love you, children. We receive his grace and his mercies like new dew this morning. I just release right now that perfect love that casts out all fear into every heart right now. Perfect love that eradicates and removes the fear and assures us that we're children of God and we're loved. Just release that right now in this house, in every heart. For those who feel wayward, for those who feel distant, we just come against that lie right now. We say that he is with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. You're never alone. He is a good, good Father. Thank you, Jesus. We receive, Lord, that grace. We receive that truth right now in our lives and our hearts, that you're good. You're good, Father. You're good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love that song. Praise the Lord. Awesome job, team. Awesome job. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You don't need help. Well, for those of you who came in just a little bit late, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. Resurrection power's in the house. You know why? Because you're here and you brought him with you. And when you leave, resurrection power will go with you. It's not going to remain here till you come back again next Sunday. It's going to go with you, and you can experience it every day of your life. Praise God. Well, they said they weren't going to be here. But Reagan Joy's in the house. A little over a week old. if it's okay. Is that good? Does that work? There she is. Praise the Lord. Church growth, I love it. Family growth and church growth. Praise God. Well, let's see. Can we get the children to come on up? While you're coming up, I want to let you guys know that after service, for a very short window, they're going to be selling some more tickets for the 31 Women Ministry. It's so that they can purchase these really nice personal items for, what's the name of the house again? Sunrise House. And these are young girls that have come out of trafficking, women that have come out of trafficking, and they're being blessed by having a place to stay, and we just want to bless them with a gift. So if you would just go towards the back, you'll see these three neat baskets, one's for men, one's for women, one's for children, and they're going to be then, after that, it's going to be a very short period of time you're going to be able to purchase, but after that, then we're going to go ahead and do the drawing. Has everybody got that? Is that right, Sarah? Did I get it right? Okay. Okay. Well, let's stretch out our hands to our kids and just bless them. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, for your grace, Lord, that's working in these lives. Lord, we thank you, God, that as they go down today, they're going to learn of you and about you. But, Lord, I pray, God, that you would teach them. Lord, that you would teach them, Lord, every day of their life, that you would speak to them, Holy Spirit, and guide their steps. Let them know, Lord, that they are loved too, Lord, and that you have a plan for their lives now, not just when they grow up. We release your blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen. So praise the Lord. Well, I like to mix it up. You guys know that. So I've been asking Pastor Josh to preach for about 2 years now. No, I'm just kidding. It seems like it's been a while. But I know some would say, well, it's always standard for the pastor to preach on Easter Sunday. But who says that? It's just because it's tradition. And we're going to be untraditional, and Pastor Josh is going to bring it this morning. Let's give it up for him. Bless you, brother.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Testing, testing. Morning goodness. It's not a Q-tip. And yes, you can. Whoa, somebody's got something going on. Okay, here we go. Boom. All right. How are you all doing this morning? I'm already pacing. Get your Bibles out. This should already be in your heart, so we're all good if you didn't bring it. Yeah, I can't quit singing that. You're a good, good father. I'm singing it right now, actually, inside my heart. You're a good, good father. And I'm not that bad of a singer, I've come to realize. A lot of practice in the shower with some music in the background. You're a good, good father. Yeah. I don't know about that. Okay, so I already asked you how you're doing, and the answer was? Awesome, great, good. Fan what? Fantabulous. All right, I will ditch the toothpick. Only because three of you want me to. Yeah, good morning. So Easter, okay, what are we going to do today? I'm already hot. You guys nervous? You look a little nervous. No? Okay, I just want to make sure, because some of you look a little nervous. Okay, well, don't worry. Well, this will be easy. Okay, so who likes buffets? Anybody? Buffet? Right? I mean, it's a love-hate relationship, right? Okay, you already know where I'm going. So like, you love it because you can, if you want peas with your ice cream or what else? What's something else? You can have, you know, whatever. You can have fish with your soup, right? Salad with your something that rhymes with soup. Something. You can have what you want. And so the hate part is that if you don't have control, you have to roll out of there. Right? Yeah. You're like, gotta take a break. You're right? So, well, that's what we're gonna have a little today. We're kind of gonna get all over the board and we're gonna see what happens. And I'm just listening to the Lord amen. Today is Easter Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate his resurrection, that we celebrate that he is alive, and it's very, very important to do so. And I'm not just in a Sunday service, but it's very important to fix, God bless you, squared, to fix our gaze on him. It says in the Word of God that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Right? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So, he saw something. He was waiting for something. He was ready for something that got him up on there by choice. Right? What is that something? Or who is that someone? It's for us to come into completion as children of God. He saw that, right? So he did that. And that's not even what I'm really talking about today, but I figured since it's Easter, I better say something, right? But he did. He saw it, and he jumped up on it, and then he did his thing, bap, 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 and then he come out, and here we go. And the crazy thing is, it all already happened. It already is already dealt with, but it just unfolded, or how do you say, doesn't even make sense, actually. I don't even know how to say it. But it already, before the foundations of time, right, before the whole thing began, slain, right? So that all was already dealt with. He just, I guess, walked it out. So thank you, Lord. It is important to remember. It is, Sister Barb and I were talking this morning, or she was talking and I was listening, and she mentioned about some things that her family did, right, growing up, and the different ways that during this season, this time of remembering that you guys, what you guys, your parents would do, and there's certain things that you did, and pretty neat, actually. I mean, it touched my heart to hear that because They would do different things. What did you say? They would find the nails in the garden and allow me to translate. The mother would have them each to take a white cloth. Yes. Right. And they would share communion bread. So there was more than just a story in the Bible, more than just something to be remembered, but you guys took it another level. And that, when I heard that, that really touched my heart. It reminds me of, you know, Passover, and I was reading about Passover, and it's an 8-day celebration. I don't know a lot about it, so I'll be honest, but I wanted to look, and it's an 8-day celebration, and they go all out, all 8 days. They utilize every moment of every day, and they do different things to remember what they're celebrating, to remember their exit out of slavery, I mean, they even got out of Israel, Egypt so fast that their bread was still like wasn't even finished, didn't get to rise, and so they had this flat bread. So now, all these years later, they get rid of anything that has anything to do with any yeast or any leavened bread. And I mean, they clean their house. I mean, I was looking, they have apps for iPhones for you to get rid of your stuff so you know what you're getting. You can even sell this stuff on there to somebody who doesn't celebrate it. It's crazy. But they, to the nines, I think is the term, and they go for it because they don't want to forget. They want to remember their freedom. And there's a lot to that. So I was sharing with the youth on Wednesday evening one of my old stories about how when I was probably 16, I had gotten in trouble. I was living with my father, and I don't know what I did, but I was grounded, which, you know, there wasn't. With my dad, it was always... It was more of I didn't want to disappoint him than it was really. Like, he didn't, you know, beat me or anything fun like that. I'd be grounded. If I was grounded, I'd be grounded at, like, 5 o'clock. You know, I had to be in by 5 or stuff like that. Well, anyways, I was grounded. I probably got suspended or something. And I was grounded, and so I asked if I could run the mail to the post office on a bicycle, and which is probably weird because, you know, the mailman comes right to our door every day, and, you know, I'm up to no good. So I got permission to ride my bike. Actually, it was my stepmom's bike, but that doesn't matter. It didn't have the bar, and it was a girl's bike. It's okay, though. So I rode that to the alley, and I had people waiting for me, and I ditched the bike, and I got in the car, and I went for some joyriding, and the amount of time approached really quick that where I should have been back in order to make this thing seem legit. Well, I was in the moment and I was having fun, and so I didn't come back right away. So then, you know, another hour goes by, and I'm like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? You know, I'm like, I go in there, and I was... Basically, what I did is I went extreme, you know. I'm one of those, you know, all in. Well, I was all out on that one. I was all out. I didn't come home till like the next day. I was like, oh, I've already done it now. I'm just going to go for it. And you know, I didn't take into consideration. I mean, I did, but I didn't really take into consideration their feelings and the fact that they had no idea where I was or what I was doing. And they knew I was probably up to no good. And but... I eventually tucked my tail and I came home. And it wasn't like there was a fear. The fear was disappointment. I was in deep and I knew that they were going to be disappointed. And when I got there, I mean, they were glad to see me, which surprised me, of course, because I thought I was in deep trouble. And anybody done anything like this? Okay, all right. Okay, I'm not nervous anymore, all right. So I roll in there the next day, and they're happy to see me. And I don't remember the result, but everything was all good. And, I mean, they loved me. They were, of course, happy that I was safe, you know. And the reason for bringing that story up is to relate it to how we are when we approach our Father. Because the scripture tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. And how many times do we hold back because of something that we were into or something that we thought or that we did, and there's this invisible blockage, right? And you guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, someone, yeah, like, okay, you're like, well, either you're like, I'm not good enough, or He's so angry at me, meaning God, and I know some of you right now can relate right in this moment what I'm talking about. Or if you want to get a little crazy and honest, I'm not done yet, whatever it is, right? I mean, just being real. But we have that where he's constantly calling us. The door is always open. The door is always open. And there's times when I hold back. I withhold. I draw back. It's like that time when I took off from my dad's house. And out of fear, you know, out of all these things that Pastor Mike described as lies a few moments ago, the enemy's lies, they just hang over our lives. And he encourages us to come boldly before his throne. So I want to go to Zechariah 3. And I want to read this. It's fine if you don't have your Bible. Just listen to what I have to say here, what the word has to say. It says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?'" Now, verse 3, "Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel." Okay, filthy garments, remember that. Number 4, verse 4, "Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' Then God answered and said, 'Take away the filthy garments.' And to him he said, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by." What happened there? What just took place there? He got cleaned. What did he have to do? He just had to go, right? He just had to go in there, taking off my shirt and rolling up my sleeves. But he just had to go. He just had to be there in the presence of the Lord, right? I've read this many, many times, and I haven't caught this until I heard someone share it recently. He's in the presence of the Lord. And who cleaned him up? Himself? No. No. It says, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." That ties in to the scripture that says, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace," right? To receive his mercy and his grace when in need. In Isaiah 6, it says, you know, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is full of his glory." So it's funny. It's like Jonah. What was Jonah thinking? You know, right? Jonah had some business to deal with, but for his own reasons, he ran. Where was he running to? Who was he running from? What was he doing, right? The whole earth is full of the glory of God. You're not going to go somewhere where God's glory is not revealed, is not there. It's not possible. So I think of like Jonah or me, you know, and or any of us. You know, it's like, what do we think? Where are we? What are we doing? So this morning, who knows? The word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is a door, is a doorway, right? I was just looking at BibleGateway.com this morning. Anybody know that website? Bible Gateway. The Bible is a gateway, right? I'm like, duh, the Bible is a gateway. It is a gateway. Now, I'm on rerun right now. I'm on repeat mode, so I've already said this every time I've been up here. I'm just trying to find a different way, a couple different words, a different example, a different way to approach it. But the Bible is a gateway, right? Jesus is a gateway. Worship is a gateway, huh? Fellowship is a gateway. How many gateways are there? We are a gateway, right? So if the word is a gateway and it says something like, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," What is that? What is that? What does that mean? How? Huh? It's an invitation. But how many of us take that invitation? And, I mean, how many of us do? And this isn't a, I'm not trying to be heavy or condemning at all, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, okay? So the word of God is not all fun and games. Hello, is it still on?
Yeah.
No, yeah? The word of God and the kingdom of heaven and the reality of who we are in Christ is not all fun and games. We can enjoy it. We can indulge in joy, engage in joy, enjoy it. But there's some serious business about it, right? But it's the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's keep a joyful heart. The Lord kept waking me up this morning. I'm like, I was excited. I was like, because I get to preach, and yet I fight it. I fight it so much, you know? But we all do it with different things. You know, there's something we know we should be doing, or a certain, you know, we can feel a tug of something, and we just kind of put it off. And we've got this faithful guy right here, this good friend. He'll just, for 2 years he's been asking me to preach. He said it. I'm finally up here. I mean, I'm going to wish I didn't say this, but I could preach every Sunday, every day, you know, if I really wanted, whatever you want to say. So, I mean, you know, I found that's one of my gateways, you know, just getting in the Word and just delighting in Him, right? Right? Just getting in there and engaging with Him and taking those scriptures and waiting upon Him. 40:31 Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. How does that happen? You know, these are questions I'm hoping to provoke something, you know. Provoke. How do these things take place? Because I'm provoked. Because I, you know, you asked me earlier, do you have any questions or do you have a question? And I know you were saying, do I have a question for you, right? But then I said, no. You're like, oh, do you have any answers? And I'm like, I have lots of questions and I have no answers, very little answers, right? We should all be that way. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He'll lift you up, you know, in the due time. That's my version of it, but that's what it says. You know, we should all have lots of questions. We should. We should be provoked to grow, to engage, to engage. All of it. Provoke? Questions. Okay. We should all be provoked to engage. Oh, I got it. It's good. And use the one of many gateways. I mean, Jesus, let's just be clear. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the gateway, okay? But the only way. So I want to make that clear. But there's many ways to, I guess, if you will, open. Did I say worship was one? Yeah. Yeah, worship is definitely one. Definitely one. Praise, prayer. I mean, you know, just entertaining His presence. So I was sweating bullets at first because I was like, okay, this is, I always fight it at first, like what I'm going to say. But my point of being up here and what the Lord wants me to share is that we have to, as children, as growing, we don't, you know, whether it's milk, meat, whatever stage we're at, we have to grow and we have to engage. And the only way we're going to do that is by turning into Him. Now, that's an expression, you know, that there's other ways you can put it. It's like when you say, seeing. You know, people talk about seeing. You know, well, I see this in the spirit and this and that. You know, and then some people can see very vivid, clear. They can describe this and that. And other people, it's more of a sensing, right? So when I say turn into, it literally is like bury yourself in, let's say, well, his resurrection. You know, we can take the scriptures to talk about him being alive and all that that means. What does that mean? I'm made brand new in Christ, you know, a new creation. We were talking about that the other day, right? I'm a new creation. And in talking about all that comes with placing ourselves under the lordship of our Savior, our friend, right? Our friend, our co-heir, as the word says, and grabbing a hold of that bit by bit, because you ain't going to take it all at once. You'll die of a heart attack. Something, man. You'll be like a space cadet. Well, no, because I'm already a space cadet. You'd be like some. But the point is, we want to just nibble on it and grab a little bit. And so we take stuff, you know, like I was saying earlier, like my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we start to grab a hold of it. I don't know if I shared with you guys the last time I preached. I think it might have been. And I might have, I don't know. But one time when I preached, I was really having a hard time before getting up here. And I was standing or sitting over here, and I was having a very difficult time. Nerves were just bing, 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 bing. And I mean, it was just a different experience. I mean, there was something. There was a wall there. And I had recently heard a testimony of something that took place, and immediately that came to my mind. So what I did is I sensed, I perceived that there was something that was attempting to block me from getting up here and sharing a word that needed to be shared that day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be the one to communicate it. But there was a blockage, and in the spirit, it was a giant. And I had heard this term. I'd heard dragons before, and I was familiar with dragons in the spirit. I never really had heard giants. But anyway, so what did I do? I took. Here we go. I took a sword and I cut off his head and I got in his belly and I cut his belly open. I took out what that word was that he wanted, that the Lord wanted me to share, that giant had stolen, and I took it and I ingested it in myself, and I got up here and I shared it, and I promise you, things changed dramatically that day, not just for me, but for all that had ears to hear. That all happened in the spirit. I didn't actually see it. It wasn't like a movie screen over here somewhere. Do-do-do-do. Cut. No, it didn't happen that way, but it did happen. And I come later to find out from others with similar experiences that the giants, did I tell you this? Or maybe you heard it, but giants represent usually or are over churches. That's true. I didn't know that. Because I was like, well, dragon, giant, what? I wanted to go with dragon because that's what I knew, and I had a slight grid for it. But anyways, that took place, and how many of you know that the spirit realm is just as real as this, what we're, no, let me rephrase. It's more real, like, right? It's more real. With all that said, that little bit of fun information there, a bit of reality there, we have to take and turn in and use these gateways into the deeper levels of God to turn in to the Lord, okay? Turn in to his scriptures. Turn in to our relationships with him. We need to remember, the Jews remember 8 days. Anybody ever been to a Jewish wedding? Yeah? What kind of experience was that? Pretty intense, isn't it? I mean, how many days was it? Amazing. Well, you got a condensed version. I've not been to one, but my uncle married into a Jewish family, and it was, Yeah, his was days. My mother was explaining it to me. She went over to Seattle, and it was like days, several days. I think they were there for a week. And the same is their celebration for Passover, same thing. It's, I mean, they take and they remember, they engage, they have a circular way of thinking. It all comes back around. They get deep into who God is calling them to be, who God is, because they don't want to forget, right? They don't want to, if you look at through the line of like David, right, and Bathsheba, and then look down into his children, and you got Solomon, who had a bazillion wives and 42 trillion concubines. And what happened to him, man? What happened? He forgot. It's a good word. He forgot. And so the other thing about the word is it's a gateway, it's a doorway. But it also requires a response, you know? So like if I get up here and preach, I don't want to just preach or share a good word, or hopefully it's a good word or even a bad one, I guess. But I want to, we got to respond. We've got to engage. If we're going to open the door, you know, I said this one time before, standing right here looking at that door. If I could stand at that door and I can come in and I can stand back there, or I could stare at the door, or I could walk in and I can engage. I can meet people. I can hang out. I can worship. I can live a little or a lot. Right? If you guys hear that woo in the background, that was me. I was living a little, having a little fun, moving around a little, you know? But it requires a response. And a couple examples the Lord gave me is this. Who in this room has ever bought a car? Raise your hand. I want to see a car. Congratulations. Kind you get? No, don't look around. You. Yeah. What? Good. Saturn. I just got rid of a Saturn. So quit working. I'm just joking. Saturn. It's cool. But so a lot of us, or probably most of us, have raised our hand, right? So what happens when you get that car and you start driving down the road? What do you notice? All the other cars, the same thing, right? Isn't that right, though? Yeah. Well, I did notice the Fusion that we have now. But now that I drive it, I see them a lot. Our Prius, it's probably the most common car in the world right now. Everywhere you go, you see a blue Prius. Same color, everything. I start thinking, oh, there's my wife. Wave to her. I'm in the Prius. I'm in the thing driving down the road. Oh, hey. Oh, shoot. They're everywhere. I actually made up a sign. I do this kind of like Star Trek, but it's not. It's my version. I do this thing. And Michael, Becky, I had Michael. Me and Jay had Michael when we were over in Oregon, and everyone passed, and I would like honk and go. And that was our Prius sign. And so I had this kid thinking, at the time he was really young, but I had him thinking, there's like this universal national Prius salute. You know? And so I'm driving down the road. So even now when he's still in the car. And then also while I'm on that subject, because this is funny, it has controls on the steering wheel, you know, for volume up and down. So also I would hit the volume and I would use my finger like this. And I'd be like, check it out. And he's like, that is, why? Do it again. I'm all, volume's going down and up, you know, and he's like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, it's a Prius. But you notice the car is the same. Or this, something I've done, started doing recently, watching what I eat. I have an app on my phone, and I put in everything that I eat or drink. Unless I want to have a little fun one day, I just won't count because I was just like, right? But I'll put it all in, and all of a sudden, I tell you what, I do not go a single meal or drink or anything without thinking about what's its effect on me. What is it going to do, say, to my rear or, you know, my love handles or something. But I consider everything as my point. And I thought, wow, Lord, that's a great example, because there's nothing that even before I, you know, I'm driving down the road, what am I going to have for lunch? Okay, well, I'm not going to have this because I can have this and have more and it'll treat my body a lot better than this, and on and on. But I'm engaging, I'm well aware, and that's what he's asking of us all the time, that we have to engage, we need to be aware, we need to turn into him. There's times I've heard testimonies of people doing things like taking these big old chains and wrapping them around a post and going and bolt cutters and cutting these chains so they have some sort of a grid, some sort of frame of reference, so that when they're praying these prayers for these chains to be broken free off their life, spiritually speaking, that they can hear those chains going. I mean, that's real. That's engaging, you know. Back to knocking on the door, you know, Revelation 3, you know, I knock and whoever opens, you know, I come in and dine with you and he with me and standing at the door knocking and just getting a grid to really engage the reality of who we are as sons. I'll say and daughters, but you know, who we are as his children. And it's super duper necessary and important. Communion's a great example. His resurrection, I mean, that's, you know, doesn't get any bigger than his resurrection. But my encouragement, the word today is to just lose yourself, right? The word says, behold, you know, old is gone and new creation, and it doesn't even say a new person, a new human. It says new creation, and okay, whatever that means, but we're made brand new, and it's only by the blood of Christ. We're made new, right? So then we need to walk that out, and we need to be growing, and we need to be fellowshipping, and we need to be doing stuff that one day we thought was crazy. We didn't know existed. You know what I'm saying? We need to learn the voice of God. You know, for years I almost felt defeated, to be very honest, because people would say, you know, God told me this or God this, and I couldn't hear a voice for nothing. And I thought, man, you know, I didn't give up because God didn't make me a quitter, but he didn't make any of us a quitter. But I sure was challenged to know what it meant to hear from God, because I was trying to hear a voice. And I know he does have a voice, and I know he uses it. But I also know there's probably a million other ways he talks to us. And it's our job to evaluate that, to find out how does he. I'm unique. There's not one other me on this earth that never will be. never ever will, never was, and there never will be. And that's a testament to his love for us. He doesn't want another one of us. I mean, he loves us, not to say that he couldn't use it, but he loves us the way he made us. And we have this privilege, this opportunity, responsibility to find out if I'm here, why am I here? Straight up. Why am I here? Lord, you made me. There's these different circumstances, these different opportunities, these different things that you have allowed in my life. And I want to fly. You have dreams? Anybody have dreams ever flying or bouncing real high or anything? Why can't we? Anybody? Gravity? Good answer. That's a legit answer. Except God's supernatural ability is precedent over gravity. But our minds don't. I don't know. I mean, was that an inch? Had a couple miles to go. But so gravity right now, but I don't think gravity can do it for too much longer. I'm going to be honest. I don't think so. I know it can't. Now, I know that sounds whatever. But if I'm made to be somebody with a unique purpose, then it's my job to find out what that is. You know? Because the enemy is doing his job. Right? I'm not giving him credit. Don't get me wrong. Do not get your hopes up, Satan, because I am not giving you credit, as it says in the Word of God, Lord, rebuke you. However, he's a busy thing, and we need to stay busy as well. Busy in the Lord, resting in the Lord. We have to. If I'm made to do this, to be in this certain area, and to do this certain thing, and to influence these certain people, and to raise up these certain children, or to be this certain, I mean, I've got to know, number one, what do I need to do? And then, Lord, I need you to lead me to do that, to fulfill me, because I can't do that. I mean, and I'm there. I want to live. I want to live. One last scripture, which sums up this whole thing. And it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, God bless you squared, but without faith, three times, it is impossible to please God. Listen, if you walk away with one scripture, one thing on your heart, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he is, right? Turn into him. Must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently turn into him, diligently seek him, diligently set things aside for him, diligently look for his direction every step of the way. Diligently fight with every ounce they have to literally just lay at his feet. Literally just be right there and just hear what he has to say. If you're going to fight, if you're going to use your energy, use it. But don't use it for the wrong thing. You'll get tired quick. Right? Don't use it for the wrong thing. You'll find out fast. You're not a Timex. What's that? It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I mean, you'll tick for a while, but trust me, you're not a Timex. If you want to find out who you are, put your faith in him. I mean, But without faith, It is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he will reward you when you chase after him. I've been hearing this term untether a lot lately. And I take it as untethering from this world, this untethering from the things that if I allow them, they'll hold me back from the whole reason that I'm here. Need to untether and be released from the lies of the enemy so that I can fly. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch, what was his secret? Right? It was faith. Right? He went up. He's still up. Still up. He didn't see death like a lot of people. He flew. Come on. He flew. He flew. It was faith. It was just letting go. I mean, I say just, you know, here's another thing. Before I said it's not all fun and games because there's work involved, but you can enjoy it. Well, I'll also say that it's not all easy, but it is simple. Bunch of those little dang curveball sayings, but they're true. And I don't stand up here, I'm like, I got it figured out. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I mean, I'm just sharing what, you know, anytime I'm up here, it's because that's what the Lord's got going on in me. And I got to get it out because it's alive. 4:12, Hebrews, it's alive. The Word of God is alive, and it's sharp. And it tells you what's up, and it tells you who you are. Not it, he, Jesus. He tells you who you are. He separates the lies from the truth. So Lord, what is our response? Let's stand up together. And if the message was that we need to turn into him and that it's an act of faith, why do we need faith? I look at faith as trust, yes? What? To please God. Because we don't get a layout, a map, step-by-step GPS directions to what's taking place next. We can't see what's around the corner. We need to trust him and know that he's a good, good father. So Lord, let's pray together. Father, this doorway that you've opened, this gateway that is here this morning, we walk through it. We need to walk through it together, brothers and sisters. Let's walk through it. Maybe we do. Maybe we just take a step forward, you know, and we put something behind our faith. We don't just believe, but now we're doing something in a physical action that says, okay, if there's a doorway and I need to walk through it, then maybe I'll walk through it. Maybe we can do that. Maybe we just take a step forward and let's walk through it together. You guys can do that?
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, it's just a step. Doesn't matter. Just a step forward. So now we walk into the doorway. We've brought our faith with us. Father, we desire to be who you've called us to be. And there's an anointing here. There's an invitation that you are giving us, and we're responding to it. We need you, Lord. We can't, this is not something that we can do on our own. We want to run and not get weary. We want to do your work, Heavenly Father. Oh, Daddy, you're a good, good Daddy, and we want to do your work here. So we've stepped through the door, and it's by faith. Our arms are open, our hearts are open, and we say, let, by the Spirit of God, let you, your reign of refreshing mercy and strength and grace, you said it's there. We come boldly. Here we are. We're boldly. We're exchanging our dirty, filthy rags, and we're receiving by faith right now. Everybody that will do this will receive by faith right now clean, sparkly, shiny robes. If you want a turban, you can have that too. But we receive the newness, the freshness of God in us right now. Just receive it, say it, think it, sing it. There you go. Let we just receive it right now. Father, do your work in us. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this point, for being there the whole way. And now for providing a strength, a cleanness, a cleanliness beyond our own abilities to carry on further, but to engage in you. I say, let there be an anointing right now released from heaven by the hand of God, by the angels of God, that will deposit within each one of us that anointing to move forward and to rest in you. Yes. To fly like wings of an eagle and to just be renewed, yes, by the Spirit. To our burdens are now lifted. The weight is no longer there, and you're freeing us to be who you've called us to be. I thank you that for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. I thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Wash over us now. We celebrate who you are today. We celebrate the new step, the new door that is open and available for each one of us. We celebrate that you're alive, that our God is alive. Lord, we love you. Rain down in this place. Let's sing a song together to him and just invite him. Just invite him.
Amen. never ends because he lives. Because he lives.
I was dead.
I was dead in the grave.
I was covered.
I was covered in sin and shame.
I heard
mercy call my name.
And he rolled.
He rolled the stone away.
If today you have heard something that touched your heart, that sits well within you, then it's your job to not leave it here. And if not, that's okay too. That's your business. And if you've heard something you do, maybe you don't agree with and you're not sure about it, that's okay. You know why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ and we're going to spend a long time together. So I think that we can overlook any sort of minor details that we may or may not exactly agree with. because we love one another, right? I mean, come on. You might be my neighbor in heaven, so, you know.
Right?
Yeah. You'll be surprised. I bet your neighbors in heaven will be the ones that have really rubbed you wrong most of your life. I guarantee, I'm pretty sure about it. So, with that said, take it, run with it, dissect it, evaluate it, lay it before God and say, okay, here it is. For some reason, that's set in me, that I need more. I need to know, what is this, Lord? I need to grow. Don't just leave it here. Otherwise, it's just a good word, and we had a good time, a couple laughs, some prayer, and that was it. It's so much more than that. It's the reality of who we are. It's the reality of who we are as His children. Have a wonderful time celebrating with your family as well, your friends. Enjoy this day as we should every day. Remember, enjoy. It may not all be, you know, sugar-coated, but we can enjoy it because His joy is our strength. We have young Pastor Stephen who wants to share something. Love you guys. He's got something to say, and take it with you. Don't leave it here. It's yours.
Amen, right? Give it up for Pastor Josh.
Careful.
Trip over the cord. I'm just going to talk about the Easter baskets real quick. It is 12:38 by iPhone time. So we're going to, you can run back there, purchase a couple more tickets if you want. I hope I get the men's basket. I put all my allowance in there so I could get it. But run back there, throw some money in there, and at 12:39. At 12:45, we're going to do the drawing. We'll do it from right here. Get your kids up here before we do the drawing. Remember, it goes to the Sunrise House, which supports these young women that have come out of trafficking and had a really hard life. So, 5 minutes. Be blessed.
And ladies, I'd like to remind you that your money I'm starting to collect today for the women's conference. So if you haven't got that into me, please make sure you pay me today.